more boundaries, you know. Yeah. It's creating boundaries. For example, when you get into a relationship, exclusivity is one of those things where it's a known thing that we are exclusive to each other, you know, and that is very important that you know that when you're getting into this, there are no third or fourth or fifth parties that are introduced in this union.
Our guests on Focus on the Family today are passionate about marriage. And as you just heard, they believe that marriage must involve certain elements, similar to that of a ballroom dance, structure being one of them. We'll hear more of this analogy as we get into the nitty-gritty. Our program today was recorded whilst we were on our tour of Let's Talk Marriage events. This is Focus on the Family with Graham Schnell, and I'm Alison Schnell.
Alison, we've enjoyed dancing in our marriage, and you've been pretty gracious. I know I like to pretend that I'm a fantastic dancer, but yeah. You've spoken the truth in love, and the truth is that I am pretty hopeless, but I am willing to try, which I think you've appreciated.
Yes, definitely. I do appreciate it, and, you know, you're not that bad. But I often feel quite sorry for any other couples on the dance floor because we tend to bump into each and every one of them as we make our way around.
Yeah.
Yes. But I don't think our guests today have that problem because Pindi is a ballroom dancer. And she certainly wouldn't be bumping into people. Mo and Pindi are with us today. Yeah. They are marriage strategists and mentors. You may remember them from the TV show Power Couple, or more recently their own TV show, For Better or Worse. They've been married for 15 years and have three children together, while Mo has another child from before their marriage. Welcome to Focus on the Family, Mo and Pindi.
Yay. Thank you
so much.
It feels
good to be home, eh?
Yeah. I'm a little bit worried about that dance thing you said.
Yeah. You didn't comment about Mo's skill in dance.
Because there's no skill, that's all.
Yeah.
So, Graham, you're not on your own.
Yeah. The truth was spoken to me as well.
Also.
Yeah. In love. Well.
Maybe not so much in love. Well, it's great to have you guys. Thanks for joining us. And congratulations on the show.
It's exciting. It's exciting stuff. We're excited.
Yeah. Well, we held a marriage event with you guys about a year ago. And that was something of a precursor to another event that you did just recently.
Yeah.
That was also a huge success. Yes. And the title of the event was The Marriage Dance.
The Marriage Dance.
And you built this analogy that I think is very powerful, just the between marriage and dance, what it takes to have a healthy marriage based on lessons learned from ballroom dancing. Where did the idea come from, this analogy between marriage and dance?
The idea came about because we realized that marriage is actually a dance, and like any dance, the beginning of a dance is messy. You know, you mentioned something about, you know, bumping into each other. And for us, the first 3 years were just bumping into each other, stepping on each other's toes.
She was stepping on my toes.
Well, I'm the one who could dance, so guess who was stepping on somebody's toes. But I think, you know, we discovered that, you know, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that mess in the beginning because you are two people coming from different backgrounds, you don't know each other. We got married quite late. I think we're over 25. Hint, hint, so you can see how old we are. And that was 15 years ago. So, I mean, at that time, I'm already a fully grown woman and already doing my own things, you know. And I met this guy, and you cannot not expect things not to go wrong, you know. So the first really 3 years of our lives were all about stepping into one another's toes.
Well, your first point is that idea of minding your steps.
Yeah.
And, I mean, in dancing, it's difficult. You do. Yeah. I mean, I think Alison's had a few bloodied toes in our dancing.
I am very afraid while we're dancing. Actually, I dance in a panic.
you're saying it comes because you're two individuals that have yes. come from your own set of ideas and yeah. perceptions, expectations, and you're now joining together. And mm. those first few years, depends on how long it takes to get in step, I
to
guess.
Yeah.
How was that for you? You were saying it was tricky in the first yeah. few years.
One of the things that, for us, made it so tricky was the fact that we're both strong personalities. Yeah. Pindi looks very sort of subdued and submissive, but trust me.
No, she is. Come on.
Pindi is none of that. She challenges everything. And I think that that's one of the things when we dated for 10 months before we got married. And that's one of the things that were a major attraction for me. That I never really wanted somebody that would leave me unchallenged, you know, so to speak. And with Pindi, I found that person. And it helps me grow. It was more for those selfish reasons. It helps me grow. It helps me look at things with a different perspective, you know, as well. So those first few years, there was a lot of bumping into each other because I myself, you know, have got my own views, which I'm not scared of voicing them out. Yeah. And so with Pindi, so it became kind of like clashes and two bulls in the same kraal and all of that. Yeah. And God for us is more meaningful than anything else. Yeah. God means a lot to us. Mm-hmm. And with all of that strong personality and all of those kind of things, we always keep in mind mm-hmm. that we don't know it all individually. At times, there are times where you don't have to voice your opinions. You know, sometimes you just have to keep stuff to yourself, you know, no matter how strong you feel about them. And that's one of the things that helped us to go through that first stage, yeah. you know, of stepping on each other's toes. Mm.
You talk about structure being important in dance. And I've seen it watching the dance shows, because we have three daughters. So, and they're all dancers. They're all ballet and modern dancers. So dancing is a big part of our lives as a family. And so we watch these dancing shows, and you often will hear the judge speaking about structure. And they'll make these comments about structure, but I like what you say. Structure builds trust and provides order, yes. discipline, security, love, guidance, reassurance, and it enhances the shape and identity of the marriage. Absolutely. Speak into that.
If you take dance, for example, the routine is made out of structure. Mm.
Yes.
If you take ballroom dance, for example, how you hold your partner, your posture is very critical and it's very important. Everything can just fall on that, you know. Take that to marriage. You know, a marriage without a structure, it's like a body without a spinal cord, you know, where everything just crumbles because nothing is holding anything together. In marriage, structure becomes very important. And structure being a family where there are rules, you know, where you know what is allowed in this household, what is not allowed. We truly believe that, you know, if a home has no structure, kids don't know what time they need to go sleep, and kids can actually test your patience. It happens with us all the time, where when you tell them that, okay, weekday you're sleeping at 7:30, and guess what happens when at 8:30 they're not in bed? They will actually come back and tell you as a parent, oh, mommy, but how come today we're not sleeping? Because they are questioning the structure that you've been trying to instill in your home.
Mm. So I wish my children would come and warn me, hey, we're up late tonight.
How does this play out in marriage? Because it's easier for me to see that from a parenting perspective.
Yes.
Do you have rules as when Cindy needs to go to bed?
I think in marriage, it's more boundaries, you know.
Yeah.
It's creating boundaries. For example, when you get into a relationship, exclusivity is one of those things where it's a known thing that we are exclusive to each other, you know, and that is very important that you know that when you're getting into this, there are no third or fourth or fifth parties that are introduced in this union. It becomes almost like a rule, so to speak, that we are exclusive to each other. You know, those are kind of things in a marriage where structure becomes important because you're not going to be single whilst you are in this marriage, because marriage is different from from being single.
So behaviors, you know, in terms of how we behave in marriage would obviously be different, or should be different to how we behave when we are single. When we are single, set our own rules, and, you know, if I go out, you know, I go out and come back whenever I feel like coming back. In marriage, it obviously becomes different. It needs to become different. In other words, I don't do what I feel like wanting to do, you know, because there's now a person, you know, that. But also the issue of structure for me, one of the elements rather that we talk about is the standard, you know, to establish a standard for your marriage. And what that means for us is that, as Pindi said, you know, you don't get to do everything that is done next door. You know, you establish your own rules for this house, but it also says in our case as believers, you know, you have the word being that standard. And it means that, that the word becomes that structure. It rather provides for that structure, so that we say the word becomes the final authority in our relationship, so that whatever it is that I feel like doing, no matter how strongly I feel, you know, about that thing, what does the word say? You know, then it established a standard, you know, between
us. I think what you're saying here also plays into the next point that you make about this dance analogy, and that is turning towards your partner. Because now, no longer single, you're together in a team. I feel like turning towards your partner is team mentality. And that is exactly what needs to change now that you are married.
Certainly, I mean, I couldn't agree more. And in a dance, you don't even know what the other people are doing on the side. When you're on the dance floor, it's you and your partner. You can even hardly see what the other couples are doing. Because your focus is your partner. So even in marriage, you'll be amazed at what could happen in your marriage if your focus is just your husband.
And just another thing on turning towards your partner is that when you look away from your relationship in the context of marriage, you close yourself from the person you're with as your attention is turned towards every other person or every other thing. In other words, your priorities change. In other words, your focus changes. And one of the downfalls of that is that you begin to break intimacy, you know, with your spouse. And however, when you tend towards your partner, even during difficult times, you'll be amazed at the incredible amount of intimacy that grows between the two of you, because the person sees that you are prioritizing me, you know, and even when I am wrong, or even when I've done you wrong, you know, you don't run around and the next thing I hear is our issue outside. If it goes outside, it'll be because there was mutual agreement.
You've agreed, you know,
That we would need to involve a third party and so on.
It's almost like I can picture that analogy of the couple that is just so engrossed that they turn towards each other. It's almost like there's this invisible wall around them, and it's like you say, as soon as you start to turn away, and that wall comes down, and they've got access to the world, and when they're in that place, they've got the boundary, they've got the protection in place.
When you move your focus from where it's supposed to be, there's a tendency either of missing your step because you've actually taken your focus from where it was supposed to be. So think about that in marriage, that when you move away from where you should be focusing, this is when you start inviting things that shouldn't be part of your marriage, because you have actually lost focus of the prize.
Those can be big things and they can be small things. I mean, have you got any examples of where you feel like in your marriage that you've maybe just lost a little focus? I think all of us do. We've had those moments, but where you've realized, I need to come back and just pay attention here.
I have done that. You see, this happens at any stage of the relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, when you feel that, and in our case with Pindi, when we struggled with conflict and we didn't master, you know, or how to break the communication code, you know, between the two of us, I would often, you know, speak to my brother. Because I grew up with him, I'm very close, you know, to him, and he's married, so the intentions would be good. The intentions would be that, you know, I want advice and all of, but then you end up, you know, talking about a whole lot of things, sometimes even oversharing, you know, certain things. And then what happens is that when we go home to PE, I'm from Port Elizabeth, she's from KZN, he still looks at her with those same eyes, you know. Meanwhile, we've long moved on, you know, from the issue, and so there has been instances in our relationship where, especially during conflict, you know, when you know I would just phone and say, "Hey, bro, there's this thing." Hey, we are through, Palo.
We tend to other people,
you know, and then, but as Pindi was saying, you know, when you lose focus here and you turn your focus over there, you will have missteps here. You know, that's when you also begin to leave your first step of stepping on each other's toes. You know, you begin step. You know, it becomes messy.
And it's not an issue of looking for outside help, because that can be a good thing.
Exactly.
But then the difference is that you're seeking that together, and you're wanting help to help your relationship rather than just venting. Ah, she's doing this again, because that's turning away.
Absolutely.
As opposed to turning towards.
Absolutely.
You speak about energy and pace, and the fact that marriage is a marathon rather than a sprint, and I like that. Except that I think some people think or hear marathon and they just think hard work.
Comrades.
And it is hard work.
Comrades.
Yes. Comrades, I can speak from experience that it is hard work. But it is good. So marriage does take work, but it is good. But we're certainly in it for the long haul.
I think, you know, with that we want to say marriage is a lifetime. You are in it for, well, until
death
do us part. I mean, it actually means you're not trying to get somewhere quicker than somebody else. Take your time. Establish what your pace is as a couple. Establish your energy. If a couple who's been married for 20 years, you know, are at a very stable point in their marriage, I will get there too, but I shouldn't be putting pressure at year one to say, look at them, they never even fight anymore. Them over there. You know, they never even fight anymore and all of that. And what about us, you know? Don't compare your marriage to the next one, because it took them time to get where they are, and there were lessons along the way that they received. It's basically allow your marriage to have its own pace, you know, and its own energy, without looking on the outside and comparing and saying we should be looking like them. Look at them, you know. Because one thing about marriage, from the outside, you don't know as much. They know what is happening. They know what works for them. And sometimes what works for one couple might not necessarily work for the other. So establish what it's important to me, what my husband loves or what he enjoys, because he might enjoy something that is different from what the other couples are enjoying. So my focus is on him and what makes him happy.
And think about it. Anything that you value, you prioritize, you put time, you put effort into it. If you have an appointment today, you know, you put that on your diary. You know, you do everything to move. If there's a clash, if somebody else wants to make another appointment that will clash with this one, you will move that one, you know, into a different, you know, time slot. Because this is important. So it is with marriage. So it's amazing how when we get to marriage and we don't put as much work, certainly now that we're married, as we did when we were dating, you know, and we expect that things will just grow naturally. You know, we're no longer going to go on dates. We're no longer going to prioritize dates, because life gets busy. When you're married, there are kids and there's work, and we're growing. And even at work, careers, we're growing and all of that. So the responsibilities, they expand. We get involved with church. We get involved in society and so on, and community and so on. So marriage gets to suffer. Some people, we find this a lot, you know, lately, certainly in the recent years, what is called empty nesting.
Yeah.
You know, people who go their separate ways, you know, at the more mature age.
Yeah, once the kids have...
Yeah. Once the kids have gone to university, and then they decide, ah, you know what, we're good. You know what joined us together, which were the kids,
it's all gone,
the picture, and so forth. And you find that the trend with those, and it's obviously each case is unique, but the trend with those has always been that when we got busy with life, we got busy with kids, and didn't prioritize our marriage, that occupied the space, and that busyness and that occupation, when it's out of the way, we are now left with a void.
Yes. Mm.
You know, and now we're left with, who are you?
Yeah, stranger.
Stranger.
That's why there's an increase in divorce now, around 50.
Around,
You know, 55, which was unusual before. But it's now because when people get to that age and kids are at varsity or even get married, now they are by themselves. They're like, whoa. I just invited a stranger to my house, you know, and it's very important to create that relationship, so it's solid beyond your children.
The key word is deliberately.
Yes. Deliberate, and to keep being intentional, no matter what busyness and life throws at you.
Yeah.
Prioritizing. Brilliant. Yeah.
I like that you say marriage is a God construct. And you say he determines the pace by having established standards through his word. I just think that's fantastic, because it is exactly that. When we can center it on his word, his principles, that calls us back to that intentionality.
Here's the thing. As human beings, sometimes we have this delusion of grandeur. You know, we have this thing of self-importance that we know it all, you know, and we can do it all, you know, and that culture, it has actually permeated, especially in this day and age, to us as young people, that, you know, Google has deceived us into thinking that we can Google everything. and how to have, I mean, if you go now to Google about how to have a happy marriage, you'll find a string of articles and a string of research and theses and all of that. Now, one of the things that happened with that is that it takes God, whom we believe is the creator of marriage, and it puts him out of the picture. Because it's how to create, how to make a happy, how to have a happy marriage is all dependent on me. And here we're saying, you know, when you put God central to your marriage, now, we don't spiritualize, we don't spiritualize everything, you know, insofar as our marriage is concerned. However, it's important to have that foundation. The foundation, the knowledge that you don't know it all. The knowledge that what we have, the marriage that we have as an institution, it was never established by government. It was never established by any society at any point in time, in all the different generations. This precedes any institution. It precedes the church.
It's the longest institution.
It's the first institution that God established. So for us, there is security in knowing that I don't know it all. You know, that I just know in part, Paul says, and therefore I prophesy in part. See, there's security in that. It makes me comfortable to know I can always go somewhere. You know, there's somebody, and this somebody is God, who is himself a reservoir, you
who
know,
has
of
the
knowledge,
answers,
of information around this very institution. And for me, that is huge. That is a security. We take security in that, to know that God actually establishes the pace. He's the one who establishes the principles for which, when the scripture Peter quoted earlier on about, for this reason a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. That becomes the standard. That becomes the... So, in other words, if I do something that is opposed to that, you know, I'm going against the standard
scripture
that is being set.
Mo and Pindi, you guys are such fun and have such content to deliver here. And so we're at the end of our first program already. But can I ask you to stick with us and we'll keep going, and we really want to hit some more of these points in this analogy of the marriage dance. Will you stay with us?
Thank you.
Thanks, Mo and Pindy.
Thank you very much.
Really good.
Thank you so much for having us.
I so enjoyed our conversation with Mo and Pindy because it felt like they were speaking a language we can all relate to. And the dance analogy was a brilliant visual example of how marriage should look and can look if we're intentional about it. And notice how they spoke about the vital role that God plays in creating a standard and pace for our marriages. Because we cannot rely on ourselves to get it right all the time. We need to have God firmly in the center of our relationships. Mo and Pindy have authored two books that will be of great value to those considering marriage as well as those who've already made the commitment. The first is called Love Isn't for Cowards, where Mo and Pindy say how people define love determines their level of commitment and the extent to which they're prepared to lay down their lives for the sake of maintaining their relationships. Stuff We Wish We Knew Before We Got Married is a great book for those considering marriage. In it, Mo and Pindy say that second to your decision about where you spend eternity, who you decide to marry is the most important decision you'll ever have to make in your lifetime. Discover and understand the purpose for which God created marriage. It's worth your time, energy, and resources. You'll find both books online at safamily.co.za or give us a call on 031-716-3300 to order. Thank you for joining us for today's Focus on the Family. I'm Alison Schnell, inviting you back for the conclusion of our program with Mo and Pindy tomorrow, when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.